Welcome to the Total Wealth Academy radio show, where wealth includes much more than just money. It includes family, fitness, romance, and all the other parts of a balanced life. Listen and learn how 70% of the millionaires in America made their money using real estate. Now your host, real estate investor and consultant, Steve Davis.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Trevor Davis with the Wednesday Total Wealth Academy radio show. Happy Wednesday to all, and thanks again for all the emails coming in, and thanks again for all the requests for the book. If you want to get the Richest Man in Babylon PDF, I do have the link for that. All you have to do is send an email to me, trevor@totalwealthacademy.com. And if you have any questions at any time, feel free to radio in to KSEV at 281-558-5738. So I always start, this is my fourth radio show, I'm always going to start with the Einstein quote, which is, the measure of intelligence is the ability to change. What is it that we need to change? What is working that we can keep? But what are the things that we're attaching ourselves to that need to change, that are not working now? They've never worked. They haven't worked for other people. So why would we do something that does not work for others, that we see doesn't work for others, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense? And that's what Einstein is really suggesting is the true sign of not being intelligent. I'm going to start off with something that I read in the Katie Rancher. And this was the newspaper that was published last Wednesday, March 23rd. And it says, study reveals that Katy is the best place to retire in Texas. The best place in the entire state for someone to retire. And a big part of this study was basically just identifying what's the tax burden, what are the perks of this community, what are the medical facilities nearby, what are the retirement communities people can live in. And this all hinged, though, on the following, which I quote, the study calculated effective rates based on a retiree earning, brace yourselves, $35,000 annually from retirement savings, Social Security, and finally, part-time employment. Okay, so this retirement study is presuming that the retiree is still going to be working as a matter of course, basically. And part-time employment for retirees can mean a whole lot of different things. It could be just a couple of hours, but it's still having to presume that there's going to be part-time employment during their retirement. And that's just to get to $35,000 a year in retirement. What's supposed to be the golden years when you've worked your butt off for decades, and now should be the time out of all the times of your life that you should just be able to do the stuff that you want to do, take the vacations you want to go on, just have fun enjoying your life without having to worry about work. But $35,000 a year is not even $3,000 a month. It's just under $3,000 a month gross, you know, before taxes. So that's not a huge amount of income. That's actually well below average. I mean, the average that a person earns in the U.S. is right around $50,000 to $60,000. So that's significantly less than that average. And most people now don't want to just be earning $35,000 a year. So why would we want to get to a point in our retirement plan to where we're only living on $35,000 a year, when we're also going to want to have time to do all of this fun stuff, you know, go on vacations, go to Paris, go to Spain, go to Italy, go to Japan, go to South Africa, go to Argentina, go to Thailand, go to India, go places that you really want to go to, or whatever it is that you really want to do. I love traveling. I think lots of people love to travel, and that's really my primary leisure time passion, is to travel to new places, meet new people, try new foods, try new beers, try new wines, and enjoy a completely different part of the earth. You know, this massive ball of rock and water spinning in space in the middle of nowhere, that we're on that we're never going to be on, never going to be on a different one, at least in our lifetimes. And would it really matter if we were? I mean, this is the planet that we have, and I'm just trying to enjoy as much of it as I can. So when I started breaking down this number, I started finding out some really interesting things to really break apart what somebody is looking at whenever they're getting to retirement. And you can probably put a nickel in your jar if you've heard Steve say this, and I say this too, but what are people praying for whenever they reach retirement? They're praying that they literally die before they run out of money. So someone is not only put in a position of relatively low income, or even low income in many situations, they're retiring on way less than $35,000 a year, but they also have to literally pray that they're going to die before they run out of money. And that is not an acceptable way for anybody to live. For you to, in a twisted way, look forward to your own demise, that you have only this amount of money to get to, say, age 80. And then if you live past age 80, you know you're in trouble. You're going to have to rely more on the government. You're going to have to rely on your kids and become a burden to your kids. And no one wants to be a burden to their kids. That I know for sure. So we can't just save our way to retirement and then take out stuff like Social Security. Now, I looked up what Social Security is offering to us. Social Security was something that was brought into our nation during the Great Depression that was had great intentions. And now, though, it's not something you can opt out of, but basically we're going to get these retirement payments when we're retired, and that'll hit at a certain point, and you get greater payments if you actually defer it until later on. Now, the average age of retirement is 62 at this point in time. A lot of people wait until later. Some people just, they see the need to have higher payments in retirement, so they literally work longer, and they push it closer and closer to 70 as they can. And the average Social Security benefit per month is currently sitting at $1,657 a month. The max that I saw, which is right here on the US, money.usnews.com, the maximum possible security benefit for someone who retires at full retirement age is $3,345 as of now. Now, if you have no savings and this is all that's coming in, you know, that's it. You know, you're looking at just a little over $3,000 a month if that is the most you could get. So that's going to get you closer to $40,000 a year. Once we come back, I'm going to go into more detail on this and really break it down with a specific example to show why saving your way to retirement does not work and never has.
Told that it's normal to lose money in a down market. That's just not true. Hi, I'm Steve Davis, CEO of Total Wealth Academy. Our clients make money in both the up and down markets while creating a lifetime income stream with passive real estate investing. If you have $100,000 or more to invest, you should consider this to protect and grow your money. To find out more, please attend our free sample class live or online. Visit TotalWealthAcademy.com. That's TotalWealthAcademy.com and click the free sample class button. Thank you.
All right, everybody, welcome back from the break. This is the Total Wealth Academy radio show with Trevor Davis. We were just going over the details of the retirement situation that most Americans are facing. And I could go really into a lot of detail on what the consequences have been for the country as a whole. But let's keep going into the details and what's actually going on when it comes to the financial side of this. Like, what is the nitty-gritty? Like, what are the numbers actually saying, and what does this mean for somebody, you know, all of us that are going to get to retirement age sooner or later. So we just talked about the average Social Security each month is $1,657 a month. The max is $3,345 a month. Now, the median saved by retirement age is right at $170,000. It's $172,000 according to SingCrawneyBank.com, which says Americans in their 60s have a median retirement savings balance of $172,000. So, sounds pretty good, right? You know, it sounds like a lot of money. Now, what I did was I took an example with a generic person name. And in the U.S., we like to call that person John Smith. Let's say John Smith is one of those people that worked for the 42 years, basically, or 40 years. He started working at 22 and retired at 62 and saved up a grand total of $172,000. Now, you're going to add on the average Social Security payment each month of $1,657. The average life expectancy in the country at this moment is right at 79 years. So he's going to retire and live in retirement for 17 years. When you take $172,000 and divide it by 17 years with 12 months in each year, you're getting $843 per month from savings. Add that to your Social Security of $1,657 per month, and you're right at $2,500 a month, and you're looking at $30,000 per year. So it made sense then that the newspaper study that I opened with said a retiree, example being Katie, as the best place to retire in Texas, is looking at $35,000 annually in gross income with the retirement savings, with the Social Security, and then the part-time employment. So we can say in this example that they get $5,000 each year from the small amount of part-time employment they continue to do. So this is lining up. This is perfectly lining up with what the information is saying. So these average retirees are looking at around $30,000 to $35,000 a year in income, in retirement. And to me, that's not enough. To me, that's not the income that I want to be able to do the travel that I want to do, to have the type of house I want in retirement, to have the type of vehicles I want in retirement, and to really have the type of health care I'm going to want in retirement. You know, you have the Medicare benefits that start activating in retirement too, and that's very, very helpful for a lot of people. But there's going to be limits to this, and there's going to be costs that come out of your pocket sooner or later, especially if you want to get better care in certain situations. So our medical bills for sure do not go down as we get older. They increase because our body is, as grim and as brutal as this is to say, is breaking down year over year over year. Our bodies are not designed to last forever. Now, science is doing a lot of cool stuff. They may make some breakthroughs in our lifetimes, and maybe they can officially make aging stop. But until that point, we're living right around 79 years. Now, an interesting thing to consider, though, is this person really going to live to 79 only if they make it to the age of 62? The answer is no, because average life expectancy in a country takes into account all passings of people from all ages, all the way from 0, age 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, all the way up to everybody. It accounts the average, so that includes infant mortalities as well. That's what gets us to the average of 79. Now, according to public.com, which is citing stuff directly from the Social Security Administration, the life expectancy on average for a man or woman turning 65 today will live to 84. The men will make it to 84.3, and the women will make it to 86.6. So then, and that's normal across the board. Women are fortunate enough to generally live longer than men. It's typically 2 to 3 years more. In some countries, it's a bigger difference. In some countries, it's less. But in the U.S., it's pretty normal. And if we go ahead and assume that John Smith is not living to 79, but is living to 84, that's 5 more years of retirement. Now, we're going to calculate then that if he's going to take $172,000 to retire on, he's going to have to take only $651 per month from the savings, and then his monthly income goes down to $2,308 per month. So let me go ahead and do the math here. 2308 times 12 gets you $27,696 a year into retirement. So less than $30,000. That's not enough, folks, to have a high-quality retirement. Now, if this is what you want, if this is what you consider a reasonable expectation, if this is what you consider something that you want to teach your kids to do, absolutely more power to you. But the whole reason that we're here is because using this guide, using this map, using this strategy keeps making people suffer over and over and over again. And they're not living the lives that they want to live. They don't have the means to do it, especially during the retirement situation when you're supposed to have all the means to do the stuff that you've always wanted to do in your golden years. And I don't like to tell people to defer fun or defer vacations until the end of life, because that's not the point of life. You want to get as much joy and happiness as you can out of life at all times. But the fact of the matter is that if there's a point where you definitely need to be able to do that, it's when you're old. It's when you've made these sacrifices throughout your life. You know, parents need a lot of credit. Parents work their butts off for their kids. And not saying all parents are perfect, and definitely not by a long shot. But somebody who's worked their butt off, a mother that's worked her butt off for her kids, that's worked multiple jobs throughout her life, many different jobs, like, that's somebody that deserves to have an enjoyable retirement. Let's take the father that worked his butt off for his kids too. Doesn't he deserve to have a great retirement? Of course people like this do. And this isn't, we don't even have to just say it's somebody who has kids. Somebody doesn't have kids, but we are working our butts off for big businesses, for large corporations, and we're not opening our own businesses. We're not making our own investments into our family business, which is what you have to look at your family's finances as. You have to look at your family's finances as a business and not just this job where if you get laid off, your income goes to zero. You have to be strategizing and figuring out how you're going to get to retirement point way before age 65, way before age 62. You know, if we keep saying that we can only be rich at that age, we're going to stick with this middle class mindset that is forcing us to make decisions on a daily basis that don't allow us to progress our finances in a constructive way. Another thing to consider, we talk about if we're going to keep trying to save, but this is something I really wanted to know. I wanted to know how many people are seriously afraid of outliving their savings in retirement. If somebody is going to stick on this path, they're going to convince themselves that this is going to work out okay for them, even though the statistics show that it doesn't work really for anybody. And maybe there's a few people that it works just fine, and maybe they're fine with less than $30,000 a year. Again, more power to you. But 60% of baby boomers said that they feared outliving their savings more than dying itself, according to a recent study by Allianz.com. And Transamerica did a similar survey and found that 43% of those survey participants felt the same way. 43% of the baby boomers in that survey said they feared running out of money more than actually dying. You know, there's something very messed up going on with our financial brains in this country, for us to get so twisted that we can literally be more afraid of running out of money than dying itself. You know, if there's one thing in my mind, and I just read this today, but if there's one thing in my mind that just really shows how messed up the situation has gotten, it's this right here. And there's tons of things that people in different generations are afraid of. The big thing you hear about for millennials and Gen Zers is that we're afraid of the earth dying itself. But there's a lot of things for us to be afraid of. But come on, you're more afraid of running out of money than you are of dying. Like, that has gotten to a point that you have to realize you have to do something different. Build up the income that you need so you don't ever have to worry about outliving your savings.
If you have a financial planner, ask them these two questions. One, will I lose money in a down market? Two, do I still pay you if I lose money? If the answer to either question is yes, fire them and come see us. Our clients make money in both the up and down markets and create a lifetime income stream with passive real estate investing. To find out more, please attend our free sample class live or online. Visit TotalWealthAcademy.com and click the free sample class button. That's TotalWealthAcademy.com. Thank you.
All right, everybody, welcome back. This is Trevor Davis with the Total Wealth Academy radio show. We just really wrapped up the retirement information. I hope it's given you some food for thought and something to consider for change in the immediate future. And I want to end that part with just a funny, small, quick story from when I used to work at Total Wine. And besides all the cool experiences I had there and the fact that it made me a wine lover, but there was one day, it was almost at the holidays, and I was helping somebody in the Chardonnay section, and they were looking for a Chardonnay. And I always ask, like, what style of Chardonnay do you like? Do you like it buttery? Do you like it full-bodied? You know, do you like it light, easy drinking? What do you like? And they just basically started off the conversation with making sure that it was going to be inexpensive. You know, no problem, understandable. But by the time I got them their good bottles, this man ended up saying, he was just like, yeah, I'm retired. I can't buy expensive bottles. And I, of course, parted cordially. I wished him well, you know, come back and see us soon. But that was one of the experiences there that stuck with me permanently, because how can somebody have an idea at any point in time that whenever they're in retirement that they can't buy the stuff that they really want? That it's completely normal, it's matter of course. And that's the part that bothered me the most. He just made the comment as just such matter-of-course banter. Like, he was just basically saying something that we all know, like, hey, the sky is blue. Hey, you need to breathe. You need to blink. You know, that, it was just shocking to me that he was able to say that just so candidly. That's just a complete matter of course. You know, I'm retired. I can't buy expensive bottles. Don't put yourself in the position to where you can't buy expensive bottles if that's what you want. You know, if he could have said anything that he I guess couldn't buy, but something made him feel like he needed to say that. Like, that's something he was focused on. And I can assure you that that was nothing on my part, because I never, ever, ever did anything that would have made somebody feel like if they were buying an expensive bottle, they were Superman, or if they were buying a cheap bottle, they were not worth my time. I treated everybody equally. So when he said this comment, that just made me, that was one of the points when I realized, like, I cannot live like that. You know, if I want to have an expensive bottle or two when I'm retired, like, I'm going to be able to buy an expensive bottle or two. seriously. And whatever it is that you decide that makes you excited to buy, you know, identify that. Wine's one of those things. Beer's one of those things for me. A nice house, a beautiful vacation, one of those things for me. So what is it that you really want to be able to purchase and be able to easily afford in retirement? And it's kind of an ego-based thing, but hey, if you've got your ego on board with the right stuff, it's not going to distract you. It's not going to push you off course. It's going to be something that fuels your fire instead of says, you need to buy this, you need to buy that, just so you can look good to other people. So when we get into what we're supposed to do and focus on, how do we focus away from the traditional mindset of this is a lifetime of working for other people, this is a lifetime of I just have to basically work for a billionaire or a multimillionaire and just work for their business and just keep telling myself that I don't have a great business idea or I can't invest in something like real estate and that life is just for other people. You know, another quote that somebody said that's my dad told me, a family friend literally said to Steve, like, hey, that wealthy style of life, that's not for me. I wasn't built for that. Like, what is that supposed to mean? So at that point, you have to admit that the stuff that's holding you back is literally on you, because that's literally not how the world works. That's not how this stuff operates. If you have a good idea, you have to investigate it, you have to pursue it, and you can't give up. And real estate is easy in the sense, and I always warn people during the free sample class that, hey, real estate is not technically easy, because if you go into it thinking it's easy, you're probably going to make a mistake, or it's going to be harder than you think, and then you're going to want to quit. But the mechanics of real estate are inherently quite easy. And it's just a matter of most people are convinced that they can't build wealth. They convince themselves they can't do it, they're not built for it, or whatever, or they get retiree guys' idea that they're going to a point where they're not even going to be able to afford stuff good anyway, so why should they even bother trying? Now, the energy I want us to focus on is from a quote by Zig Ziglar, which is, you can have everything in life you want if you will just help other people get what they want. And for me, this was a life-changing quote because I first heard it when I was a cynical kid in high school, and it made a whole lot of stuff make sense because it shows you why you're paid for what you do, why you are working for a business. It could be yours, I hope, or someone else's at this time, and that's still fine as long as you're going to get to that point where you don't have to do that. But something you're getting paid for is a service or a good that is providing this to other people because they don't want to do it or they don't have the time to do it. So let's say, for example, I changed out all the fluids in my girlfriend's car yesterday. I changed out the front brakes on my girlfriend's car yesterday. And that's a project that I decided to do because I love doing this mechanic work now. I love it as a project. It helps me learn about vehicles and maintain my vehicle. Now, there was the option, though, after I got it inspected and diagnosed, for it to be done at the mechanic. And I think we all know, especially people that work on their own cars, that the savings we got were very, very high because it was going to be a project that was well over $700. No, actually, almost $1,000 total with the fuel cleanouts. No, the fluid cleanouts. So just by doing that, and that project took me a total of 2.5 hours, and I'm not a super awesome mechanic. I bet I could have done that faster if I were, but I had the time to do it. That's what I decided to do. But the mechanic, as an example, gets paid for this because they're doing something that most people don't want to do. And that is to take down a tire, lift your car, take it off, get your hands dirty, take the caliper off, take the old brake pads off, put your screwdriver in there to basically push the piston back in so you have enough space to put the brakes in. Try not to bore y'all with the mechanic stuff, but it's pretty intense. But that's the reason why mechanics get paid for what they do. they're providing a service to other people. They fix your car for a fee. They get the parts for you, and they're going to guarantee the work is good, and they're going to stand by it with their reputation. That's why they're getting paid. So I want us to take a step back from this quote, though, and ask, if we're talking about other people all of the time, who's getting neglected during this process, during that thought process? You're getting neglected during that thought process. You know, any quote can be used incorrectly, and I want people to be careful and not just try to sacrifice themselves for the sake of helping other people over and over again, because that leads to burnout. And if you ultimately want to have the biggest impact, the biggest positive impact, you're going to have to take care of yourself too. You're going to have to get enough sleep. You're going to have to eat well. You can't just run yourself ragged with the presumption that you're helping other people over and over and over again, but you're not taking care of yourself. So take a step back from this quote and ask yourself, when is the last time you've tried to step out of your own body in a way? Look at yourself objectively as best as you can. Look at your status in life so far and just say, is this exactly where I want to be? Is this, maybe if to get even harder, is this exactly where I wanted to be when I was thinking about where I'd be at this age when I was a kid, when I was five, six years old? And maybe that answer is no for most of us, but we have to take those hard looks sometimes and find out what we're doing here that may not be working, but also give us ourselves credit for what is working. The point of this radio show and the point of what I do and what my dad does on the radio show is never to get people to feel bad and push them into taking action because they literally just feel bad. No, the point of all this is to make you feel good. And one of those things that you need to feel good is to help other people and help yourself and achieve truly passive income that lets you achieve financial independence way before age 60, way before age 62 and 65, to where you could be in your 20s or you could be in your 30s, and you can take that trip to Paris, whatever it is you want to do. But make sure you're not going to one extreme or the other. You're not just focusing on yourself. You're not just focusing on other people. You have to take this balancing act of how can I help other people and how can I help myself too? Don't help other people's businesses alone. Help your business too. Figure out what it is you need to do to start building up passive income. And as real estate investors, we've identified, and it's still my opinion, that real estate is the best thing you can invest in for the vast majority of people, because it's going to give you maybe a couple hours of work with a couple single family houses with $300 or more in cash flow for each. Very, very effective at building wealth in the long term.
Hi, this is Steve Davis of the Total Wealth Academy radio show. Most people think they need hundreds of thousands of dollars to successfully invest in real estate. That's simply not true. If you have $100,000 or more, you can begin passive investing today. No worrying with contractors or tenants, and you get all the benefits of real estate investing. To find out more, please attend our free sample class live or online. Visit TotalWealthAcademy.com. That's TotalWealthAcademy.com, and click the free sample class button. Thank you.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the final segment of the Total Wealth Academy radio show today with me, Trevor Davis. In case you have any questions about what I've gone over, please give us a call at 281-558-5738. That's 281-558-5738. I love my callers. And if you are one of the people that wants to get the book, I already got a couple emails for the book, so send me an email, trevor@totalwealthacademy.com, if you haven't gotten it yet. That's trevor@totalwealthacademy.com or ask@totalwealthacademy.com. Now, I want to get into some of the mechanics of real estate and just really, really briefly during this last segment, just go into some of the reasons why real estate is such a big deal, why it's just so effective for quote-unquote, ordinary people to become a part of. And I consider that type of phrase derogatory. I don't believe anybody is ordinary. It's every person I've ever met. I can tell that there's something extraordinary about them that maybe they don't know, but I just feel everybody is unique. Everybody's got something going for them. And whether they're using it to the fullest, whether they're confident in it or not, that's a whole nother story. But so many people are investing in real estate from all walks of life, all income levels, men and women, all races, starting from different countries around the world. What we're looking at today is that 90% of the millionaires in the world used real estate as their main investment. And that's across the board in the U.S., in Canada, in Mexico, in Brazil, Argentina, Africa, Nigeria, Ghana, Europe, Asia. This is all over the place. In the United States, though, this 90% goes down to about 80%. So around 4 out of 5. Why? Because there are more opportunities for people to make money in the United States of America. It's one of the best reasons to live in this country is to open a business. But there are more ways to make money. But still, 4 out of 5 millionaires in this country are using real estate as their main investment vehicle. So 50% at least of their net worth is coming from regular, old-fashioned real estate investing. We always tell people, because it's true at Total Wealth Academy, that we don't have any secrets. You know, maybe we do. Maybe somebody will talk to me someday and they'll say, hey, you really have a secret. But all of this is just basically our unique amalgamation of all the information that we've received, all the books that we've read, what we see as the truth to building wealth. Now, Andrew Carnegie said this 100 years ago. And Andrew Carnegie is famous because he's one of the original American billionaires. And he invested in real estate and steel mills. And his most commonly known for the steel mills because he was the owner of U.S. Steel. He revolutionized American steel production. He made the United States the world leader in steel production after England had been the starter of the Industrial Revolution, and basically they were, and then Germany and France got on, and then, of course, the rest of the world started catching on. But Andrew Carnegie said this over 100 years ago. 90% of millionaires became so through owning real estate. More money has been made in real estate than in all industrial investments combined, a.k.a. even his famous steel. The wise young man or wage earner of today invests his money in real estate. Now again, this was over 100 years ago, actually right around 120 years ago. And this was a man who donated over $5.2 billion in modern money of his fortune to charitable causes. Carnegie Hall in New York City is named after him. He did a lot of very, very good things. And this is him saying, as somebody who achieved that level of wealth, you know, love him or hate him, or you know something about him that makes you hate him, but the fact of the matter is he was an extraordinarily wealthy individual, and this was his advice to people. This was his knowledge that he was opening to everybody, to tell them that after investing in both, this is what is building more wealth. This is what is getting people wealthy in the most efficient, effective, and safest way possible. And I like to emphasize the safety, because whenever you buy a piece of land with an improvement on it, like a house, you know, that's collateralized. You purchase something that has value, so if you have to sell it, there's going to be value there. You know, markets go up and down, but you've got something there that can be sold to get what you put into it back. So it's a collateralized investment. It's not something that doesn't have that. It's not something intangible. That's a lot of skepticism on my part for the digital currencies that are out there, because it's not something I can hold, as old-fashioned as that may sound. You know, I don't feel confident in the value that it produces, so I'm choosing not to invest in cryptocurrency at this time. somebody wants to call in and give me some more information, I'd love to have a conversation about it to get more info. But I want to see something. I want to improve something. I want it to have a clear value to other people to where I can sell it or I can rent it. Now, when we also talk about safety, our survival brain wants to find the safest thing at all times. And that's the driving force behind the survival brain. It wants us to avoid danger. If we have two cavemen that are walking through the woods and one caveman sees the tiger and stops before he gets too close, and the other caveman doesn't see the tiger, for some reason his brain didn't process it, he walks up straight in front of the tiger, tiger growls, grabs the caveman who didn't see it, and the other caveman gets to run away with his life intact. You know, clear, super simplified example, maybe, but I'm sure that actually happened many times in the caveman days in different ways. But that's what we're looking at, and that's why our caveman brain, the survival brain, wants us to avoid danger, because it doesn't want us to get hurt, and it definitely doesn't want us to die. So safety is what we're looking at. And the fact of the matter is that right now, real estate, as all time, is the safest investment that you can put your money into, because you can make money in both the up and the down markets. And a lot of people get very focused on this point because it's extremely important, and it's very, very different than what most people are taught. And I know it's what most people are taught, even just from my research today. You find every website that talks about, I mean, every article that I just looked at today in preparation for this radio show, it basically goes into a sales pitch for stocks, where they talk about, if you want to prepare for retirement, you need to put $500,000 into a stock portfolio that will make you 7%, and that will get you a comfortable retirement. And well, what does that mean? I mean, doesn't the stock market go up? Doesn't the stock market go down? Weren't a bunch of people wiped out during 2008 and 9? And I've met people that told me that they lost huge value during 2008 and 9, during that crash. I've talked to people that lost 33% or more of their stock's value during that time. And that was not a fun experience for them. Let me just say that. They were not happy with that experience, to say the least. But when we're dealing with the stock market, it's not in our control. It's not something that we can hold. It's not something that we can look at and update on our own. It's completely out of our control. And it's in the circle of concern, which, as Stephen Covey identifies in his book, 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. And the circle of concern is filled with things like politics, weather, if people like you or not, who your parents were. This is stuff that's completely outside of your control. So the question becomes, why would you put your money into something you cannot ever control? That's gambling. That's what I consider to be gambling, because if you can't control it, that's not a business. That's speculation and gambling. That's hoping that you're going to end up retiring on the high end of the market and you'll have a high retirement account. You know, that's what people are gambling on with their entire retirement future. Now, in a nutshell, because we're about to wrap up, but real estate makes money in both the up and down markets. We love the up market because there's a lot of money moving around. There's a lot of market confidence, high sales prices. It's often a great time to sell property because you can make more money typically during an up market to sell. The down markets, though, are people in stocks happy? Absolutely not. People in stocks are devastated in many situations because they had a value up here. Value goes down to here. They don't have as much money in their account, so they're very, very unhappy. But people in real estate make most of the time more money in the down market because you have lower prices, more people going out into the market as renters. There's more foreclosures, as sad as that is to say. So you've got more inventory, and that further lowers the prices. So most real estate investors are making more money in the down market. So guess what we're praying for right now? We're literally praying for a down market. And if it comes this year or not, we don't know. But it's always better to live with reality. Don't bury your head in the sand. Don't just hope for the stock market to go up and down. Put your money into real estate where you can actually control what your money does. and retire with comfort. Thank y'all so much, and I will see y'all next Wednesday. This is Trevor Davis with Total Wealth Academy.
You've been listening to the Total Wealth Academy radio show. Please remember that this show is for entertainment purposes only and should not be construed as legal, tax, or investing advice. Always get a professional opinion before making any investment decisions. To find out more about coaching and consulting at Total Wealth Academy, visit TotalWealthAcademy.com and attend one of our free sample classes on real estate investing. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.